Well, hey guys, my name is Noah. I have a new life in Christ. I am recovering from an addiction to pornography, people pleasing, and this week, wondering if I have what it takes. And the answer is no, by the way. But it's true. It's a biblical answer. So I want to tell you a little story. Okay, so a while back, I was surfing the old interwebs, and you may be thinking, okay, you know, you just said porn. Where's the story going? It's not going there. So I was looking at this site that's like, it's got all these kind of tips for like home decor and organization, which is something that's a pain point for my wife and I, because we have these two little mongrels that just destroy it on a daily basis. And so I'm looking at this and it's like, you know, these are seven things you have to do every day to maintain order in your house, or here's how you can organize your closet. And I mean, I'm just like chewing it up. This is fascinating. I've never thought of this, right? And it just, bottom, recommended next read. And I'm just like, keep chewing it up. This is amazing. And then I see this one right up here. It says, the title of it says, how to create a stylish altar in your home. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Like altar, really? Like, is that serious? So I click on it. And sure enough, yeah, like you can see she's got incense there. That's the eye of seeing or knowing or something. I don't know exactly the semblance, but it's something there. There's all these kind of relics and artifacts, and I'm just kind of going, is that's for real? Like they're telling people to create a little idol table in their house, you know? And I start to kind of judge, and I'm thinking, man, have we gotten as a society, have we gotten that far that, you know, that Wicca and paganism and Eastern mysticism is just so mainstream that this is like part of just our nomenclature now, right? We're just talking about altars. And then I think, what if I had an altar in my house, right? Like, what if I like literally could come over, and our house was built in the 70s, and there's a wet bar that serves no purpose. And so go great right in there. And you know, I just had all of my idols in there, right? And I thought, that would actually be really convenient. And hear me out. Because then I would know what they are, right? So I'm going through the steps with some guys too, and we're on inventory. We just finished, and we're doing step five and getting ready to share it and all that. And I'm telling you, after dozens and dozens of hours of pouring over just all this stuff in my heart and like my sin patterns and my awful behaviors and my hurts and my resentments and all this stuff, and praying, God, what are you trying to show me? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to see? I kind of go, oh, wait, I think I just caught a glimpse. I think I just saw an idol. Well, it's kind of his cheekbone, maybe a little bit of his profile. I'm not sure I totally saw him. But it's that hard for me to identify my idols. And it would just be kind of convenient to have them all set up in my house so that when people came over, or maybe when my wife and I got into an argument, she could tell me, you know, that you're worshiping that one right now, Noah. And so you guys might be thinking to yourself, okay, what are you talking about? Idolatry, like, is he serious? This has got to be a joke. And so here's what I want you to hear. The Bible talks about idolatry in terms of anything that you worship more than God, right? Now, so and it doesn't mean a physical idol, a statue that you put on your table, or something that you erect in the center of your town and go sacrifice your babies to. But it is just anything that your heart's affections, that your worship, that the predominance of your thought and attitude and heart and mental capacity is going towards day in and day out, right? So that could be, it could be money, right? It could be, I have to drive a car like this. I have to have a house in this zip code. I have to send my kids to that school so that people will think this about me. Or it could be power. It could be, you know, I want certain letters after my name so that people will look at me and go, oh, he's in control. He's in charge. Wow, you should be afraid of him, right? It could be a physical thing, like I'm going to keep working on my guns, right? I'm going to keep doing those curls because I got to have that body, or I need to fit into a dress size or a jeans, not me literally, but jeans or whatever it is, right? And I'm so focused on everything, and I can't eat that, and I can't have that, and I'm counting every single calorie and every carb because I'm so laser focused on getting this thing, and I have to get it, and if I don't get it, I'm mad, I'm upset, I'm frustrated, I'm embittered. That's idolatry, guys. And I'll tell you what mine are, okay? mine that came through as I've been praying through this, and there's more. There's more, but these are the ones that I saw. Comfort, when things don't go my way, I just want to kind of check out and find a comfy place, you know? There's the approval of others, but it's also coupled with my own approval, right? And it's, I'm the one passing judgment on myself. And I'm going to be the one to tell everybody whether I'm worthwhile or not, right? And so and if you agree with me, that's awesome. If you disagree with me, then I'm gonna spend a lot of energy trying to prove it otherwise, right? And so it works kind of like this for me. If 100 people were to pat me on the back, but I didn't feel good about what I just said or did, I just, thanks, appreciate it, right? But the flip side is that if I felt really good about it and one person came up to me and said no, I would go, oh, hang on, it's war now. I'm gonna show you what that means, right? So I need to be approved and affirmed by others. And then the last one I saw was autonomy, that I think that I should be able to make the call. I can call the shots. I'm in control. I'm the king. I'm the boss of my own little kingdom, however small it is. Like, I want to be able to call those shots. And so you guys, we talk about, here in Regen, we talk about being set free. We talk about how God can change everything, and he can. We talk about you will never be the same. What we're really saying in all the things that we say, what we're really saying is, hey, we want you to see what you're worshiping. And we want you to see your idols, because we want you to lay them down. Because when you see what you're worshiping, you see that it actually has hold of you, right? You decided at some point in your life to give yourself to that thing, and now it has gotten hold of you like a bear trap. And we want you to see it, and we want you to be set free, because he promises that that's the kind of God he is. We want you to serve the God who is. So in Exodus, when Moses is standing before the burning bush, and he's saying, well, who do I say sent me, right? What's your name, God? Because people are going to ask. It's kind of comical, because God doesn't give him a name per se. He says, I am, right? So envision that, right? So Moses is going to go into the king's court, and there's going to be all these huge statues, right? Huge idols all around. And Pharaoh, the king, is going to go, which God sent you? And he's going to go, the God who is. That is to say, none of these gods, because these gods are no gods at all.